Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the river bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Amen, and we end our reading there. And I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open. This morning we're beginning, as I've said, this new series about the life of Moses, one of the greatest and most revered of biblical leaders. His life and writings are referred to on numerous occasions throughout the New Testament and even by Jesus himself. And it seems that Moses even understood his own significance when he said to Israel in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. It is to him you shall listen." A prophecy we now understand that was pointing towards Jesus. But over the coming weeks, we'll spend 7 Sundays looking at Moses with a few gaps in between with Harvest and Remembrance Day. But over 7 different Sundays, we'll be looking at Moses' life, and there'll be many lessons for us to learn. We learn from Moses' failure as he fled to Egypt, and how God built him up again at the burning bush. This morning we're beginning not so much with Moses, but with his mother and with the Israelite midwives who are at the center of this story. A couple of years ago, we left the book of Genesis after reading how Joseph had been carried off into Egypt as a slave, only for him to become prime minister, rescuing Egypt from famine. We read about the emotional reunion Joseph had with his brothers and with his father Jacob. The story ended when Jacob blessed his sons once they'd been reunited and settled in the land of Egypt at the invitation of Pharaoh, a grateful Pharaoh, it has to be said as well. But as with all things, time progressed. Jacob died, as did Joseph and his brothers. Pharaoh changed on numerous occasions over almost 4 centuries. And eventually we're told in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, "Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt." If suspicion and jealousy and fear had been festering over those centuries, it certainly came to a head with this new pharaoh. A new policy of enslavement, cruelty, and eventually genocide was introduced. And if this immigrant nation couldn't be controlled, it would certainly be reduced, and by any means necessary. First, the Hebrew midwives were instructed to kill the baby boys, telling distraught mothers that they were stillborn. When this failed, the Egyptians were given permission. In fact, it was a bit more than permission. They were encouraged to find Hebrew baby boys and to throw them into the Nile. If there was ever a lesson in the importance of tolerance and overcoming jealousy and fear, and moderating our languages and thoughts around immigration and people who differ from us, then this is it. And as for the argument that something like this could never happen today, let me list a few examples from either just outside living memory or within living memory. Nazi Germany, Rwanda, the Balkans, the Rohingya people in Myanmar. We need to be careful. And it was into this world that Moses was born, to a family from the tribe of Levi. Significant that the one who would build the tabernacle and receive the Ten Commandments would come from the tribe that eventually became the priestly tribe who served in the tabernacle and later in the temple. And we know the story of his birth. Moses' mother had hid her newborn son for as long as she could. Screaming babies are not easy to hide. And when the child was only 3 months old, she made a basket for him and placed him in the Nile for Pharaoh's daughter to find. Moses' sister, who was watching on, offers to get a Hebrew woman to nurse the child, and surprise, surprise, she brings Moses' mother to Pharaoh's daughter, who's paid to take care of this little baby. And all too easy, we dismiss this story by simply talking about how wonderful God is in protecting Moses, or the faith of his mother in committing her son to the Nile. And I in no way want to play down either of these conclusions. God was and is incredibly gracious in how he watches over his people. Moses' mother did show incredible faith, and we have much to learn about trusting God from her. Yet if we only talk about faith as some abstract concept, as something we either have or don't have, then I'm not sure we've really understood what faith is. If this story teaches us anything, it is that faith is about as much as what we do as what we believe. Because faith is about doing the right thing. Faith is well planned. And so, first of all, faith is doing the right thing. Most of us will never be faced with the dilemma that Shipra and Pua had to deal with, the Israelite midwives. What a position to be placed in. When you're delivering the babies of Hebrew women, if you deliver a boy, kill him. It's unthinkable, it's unconscionable. It's actually something that has been highlighted in recent years when Nuala alone attempted to introduce a bill in the Lords giving doctors the right to refuse abortion or to perform an abortion on the grounds of religious belief. Now, I don't know whether that bill progressed into law, but it is a reminder for us that as we pray and voice any objections we have to the liberalization of abortion in Northern Ireland, we should also be praying for Christian surgeons, medics, and nurses who do live with this dilemma. But Shipra and Pua ignored this instruction from Pharaoh. We're told in verse 18 of chapter 1, the midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. And this didn't go unnoticed. These women were summoned before the king. A truly terrifying experience when we consider his reputation. And you know, it's easy for us to say we don't believe in something. It's easy to say we don't agree. It's much more difficult in the face of specific instructions from someone with considerable power to still do the right thing. I'm convinced that these midwives were terrified. And so what motivated them to do the right thing? Well, they feared God. Don't read that as them being frightened of God, in the sense that God was more frightening than Pharaoh. Understand fear of God as knowing who God is, his authority. That idea that he is the one who is to be obeyed, not to be trifled with. It's having a desire to obey God because we understand that what God requires of us is right, holy, just, and merciful. Fearing God is of no way comparable to fear of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was to be feared because of his capacity to kill and to destroy. God is to be feared because of his capacity to redeem and create. Do we understand who God is? Are we prepared to do the right thing because we know who God is? I said before how I look back at my career in work in a degree of despair because of how I failed to do what was right. I feared people more than I feared God. And in many ways, I wish I had those days to do again because I hope now I would do things differently. But faith is more than an abstract concept. It's an understanding of who God is. It's an understanding of the Christ who redeems us, the Creator who sustains us, the Father who loves us. Faith is living and making decisions, doing the right thing based on this knowledge. Faith is doing the right thing, but faith is also planned. Next question is how do we live out our faith as Shipra and Pua lived out theirs? Well, we can find an answer to that question as we look at the life of Moses' mother, Jochebed. We get her name in Exodus 6, verse 20. Hollywood and Disney films, along with the Lady Bird storybooks, would have us believe that Jochebed almost abandoned her baby to the Nile. If not as a last resort, then certainly in blind hope at worst and blind faith at best. I wonder, who among us blessed with children could even contemplate putting them in a basket and committing them into the Nile? My goodness, most of us won't even send them to the shop these days. But hear me clearly, I'm not suggesting Jochebed did not have faith in God. She had incredible faith in God. But what I do want to suggest is that this faith was not a last minute thing. It wasn't a final act of desperation. Everything about this story and the way it's told tells us that this was planned and it was well planned. Jochebed had 3 months to think through how she was going to save her son. Pharaoh's edict must have been on her mind for every one of the days of those 3 months. There couldn't have been a day when she didn't think about it, unless, of course, she was a very uncaring mother, and there's no evidence to suggest that. But the basket in which Moses was placed, it wasn't placed into the Nile and given a poke with a stick while the family prayed everything would be okay. We're told that it was placed among the reeds in verse 3, where it would not be able to float off. Neither was the child abandoned to the river. Moses' sister, we're told in verse 4, stood watching on. In today's language, she was keeping an eye on him. And do we really believe that Jochebed picked this spot at random? Would she not have known that Pharaoh's daughter, at very least some other Egyptian, would have been coming down to the Nile to bathe? Listen, Jochebed displayed incredible faith. But she showed a faith that was well thought out and planned. And if we want to live out our faith, if we want to be able to go into work and to make the right decisions, then we need to understand who God is and to trust Him. But we also need a plan. We need a strategy in order that we would do the right thing. I didn't have a strategy or plan to deal with some of the things I was being asked to do, and I failed. What is your dilemma? It's different for all of us, and there's not one plan that fits all. But in light of our knowledge of God and who He is and what He has done for us through Christ, what steps are we prepared to take and to think about and to plan for in order to live as He would want us to live? Understand who God is. Fear Him because of His tremendous goodness and greatness. Plan. Think through how we should live and put a strategy in place that will help us succeed. Not because we're relying on our own strength, but because we want to take steps that will demonstrate our faith in God.